You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
$1,000 on Christmas gifts. This is a significantly higher estimate than any since 2007. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The weather today is sunny with a high near 63. You're going to have west winds around 7 miles per hour. Tonight is going to be mostly clear with a low around 36. There'll be light and variable winds becoming northeast around 6 miles an hour after midnight. Tuesday will be sunny with a high near 51. East winds around 8 miles an hour, and Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with a low around 37. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 57. And Wednesday night, a chance of showers. Be cloudy with a low around 51. Thursday, showers. The rain could be very heavy at times. The temperature will be high near 63, and a chance of precipitation is 80%. And a chance of showers Thursday night before midnight, and mostly cloudy after with a low around 47.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Visit njweightlossgroup.com to schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so call 855-464-THIN. That's 855-464-THIN. Or visit njweightlossgroup.com. That's njweightlossgroup.com. They can't wait to see you look great.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Maria Fio, who is a heart and vascular care coordinator, which we'll find out what that is in a little bit, and Amanda Forrester, who's a chronic disease coalition coordinator. Maria's having trouble with her microphone. It's going flying up and down here. Anyway, let's start with Maria, heart and vascular care coordinator. What is that?
Oh, boy. Okay. So basically, my role is to ensure that our inpatient populations, our cardiovascular inpatient populations, our outpatient populations, our community are directed and know about the heart and vascular services at Hunterdon.
Okay.
So I'm advocate, educator. I'm also a certified tobacco treatment specialist, and that's the reason that Amanda and I are here today, because we're going to talk about the Great American Smokeout. So it has become a big part of my job function, and also a sustainable grant that I have received and executed. So we're really proud of our tobacco cessation efforts at Hunterdon, and Amanda's been a big part of it with her role.
And Amanda, what are you?
What do I do?
Yeah, well, what is? Well, I know what a chronic disease is, but what does a coalition coordinator do?
So I oversee a coalition made up of different partners in Hunterdon and Mercer communities.
Okay.
So the partners are made up of hospitals, different hospitals, nonprofits, faith-based, pharmaceuticals, just different types of people coming together to fight certain battles regarding reducing the risk of chronic disease. So cancer is one of them. And lung cancer is huge here in Hunterdon County. And one of our initiatives as a coalition is to fight lung cancer and allow smoke-free venues and smoke-free opportunities for Hunterdon County residents and Mercer County residents.
Okay, I have to ask, how did you get into this?
I mean, you
go to school and you say, oh, I want to do this? No, you know, I mean, come on. So
I have a background in public health.
Okay.
And so this is a very public health venue.
The reason I ask is because some people get into their line of work because of a relative who, you know, did something or didn't do something or whatever, or got ill, and, you know, so they wanted to go into the, you know, healthcare and so on and so forth. So I was just curious.
No,
it's just,
that's a great
you
question.
Know,
yeah.
It's your turn, Maria. Right. How did you get into this?
A nurse. How did I get into nursing? Let's see. I've been a nurse for 31 years. And ironically, it was not something that I wanted to do. How I got into the tobacco treatment field happened a little over 5 years ago. And I went to an intense tobacco dependence training program at UMDNJ, now Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a week-long training with pioneers. I mean, just the team is just extraordinary. They're international. And from that, I received my certification. I've kept it current. And I actually sit on a board of directors, which is an international and national organization, ATUD, which is the Association for the Treatment of Tobacco Use and Dependence. Tobacco use remains the leading cause of preventable death. And I never realized the impact globally, economically, until I took this course. So this
has become
very near and dear to my
heart. Did you ever smoke?
No, I was never a smoker. Did I ever smoke an occasional cigarette years and years and years ago? Social smoking. Perhaps teenager, you know, everybody tries it, but not an adult smoker.
Okay.
And it's interesting because you were talking about your input with behavioral health, which is huge. I know that you're, you know, very active. You were telling us about a radio show. And although you see a great decline in the adult smoking rates, you know, according to the CDC, there has been. I mean, when the Surgeon General's report first came out in 1964, it was 47.9%. And we are down. We're below 20%. However, our behavioral health population is just on the rise. They compromise a huge portion of smoking, and they're dying of tobacco-related diseases years before our a non-smoker's life expectancy. So,
you know,
big concern.
You know, it's amazing. We have four children, three boys and a girl, and my youngest son, who's the youngest of the four. is not only epileptic, but he's schizophrenic. Now, I don't agree, and my wife definitely doesn't agree, but my youngest son smokes. And I somewhat rationalize it because
sure,
it's proven fact that the nicotine quells the voices in a schizophrenic's head. And I look and I say, well, chances are he'll never get married. He'll never have his own children. He has very limited friends.
But you just brought up a very interesting thing, the nicotine. And if you deliver nicotine in a clean, safe delivery method and not with tobacco, I mean, tobacco is really the culprit here.
Sure.
You know, nicotine.
Trust me, I know. I smoked for many years.
Right.
Many years. Now, 25 years ago, I quit.
And how did you quit?
Well, truthfully,
yeah,
they put me on an operating table, turned me upside down, scraped my vocal cords, and told me it was the only time they could do it. The next time they'd have to take it out or take my vocal cords out because I had polyps on them. And
there
they said
go.
They were too big.
Yeah.
And they could only do it once. And I'd have to talk through some kind of a box.
Sure.
Now, with my big mouth talking through a box, that wasn't going to happen. You know. So at that time, the patch was prescription. So you had to get a prescription for the patch.
Right.
Now you can just go in and buy it.
Sure,
but
absolutely.
Then you had to get a prescription. So
right.
I got a prescription, and it was supposedly for 12 weeks. And it could have got renewed, but it was for 12 weeks. And it was started out real high and then supposed to go lower and lower and lower. I got to 6 weeks, and I says, I got an addictive personality. What happens if I get addicted to this patch? So I went six weeks and never put it on again.
Right. And now I will tell you that you can use nicotine replacement therapy for longer than 3 months. Anything is safer than a combustible cigarette.
But, you know, by the same token, like I said, I'm 25 years I quit. If somebody were in this room and they lit up a Marlboro, I'd have to run because.
Really?
Yeah. But now, if that same person lit up any other kind of cigarette, I go, oh, God, that stinks. Well, ugh. But Marlboro was what I smoked.
Marlboro had you hooked.
Yeah, Marlboro was what I smoked. So it was like, you know, and I have to actually walk away. And I can understand now how my wife says,
it's a trigger for people that recently quit. I mean, I just talked to someone who quit a couple of months ago, and the actual smell of it actually is almost nauseating him.
Then I talked with
another person who's quit for over 3 years, and he says he smells that and still desires a cigarette.
Yep. So, only if it's Marlboro in my case, though.
Well,
you know, it's just some, because that's what I smoked. And, you know, it was like, that was it.
Right. It's a powerful, powerful neuro-bio-psycho-social addiction. And that's why talking to people, counseling, quit lines, and therapy, FDA-approved therapies, are your best go at it. Because people will quit cold turkey, but out of the 5% that quit cold turkey, about 95%, unfortunately, will relapse.
Can't tell you how many times I quit on New Year's Eve and started on New Year's Day again.
What was it, Mark Twain? I can quit smoking. I've done it
a thousand times. Something like that. I didn't die. It wasn't quite 1,000, but it was
close
to a couple hundred at least.
And really, research shows that it's going to take probably a good 9 to 11 quit attempts to have a successful. Some people just take longer. But the important thing to know is that when one method doesn't work, there are other treatment options.
Now there are, yes. And that's the awesome part. Back when I was doing it 25 years ago, there was like the patch and that was pretty much it, you know.
Right.
And you did it or you didn't do it, you know. So someone comes to either of you and they smoke two packs of cigarettes a day.
Right.
It's about what I smoked. I've got a touch of emphysema to prove it. But now, what do you do?
Well, first off, we have to kind of differentiate, because if somebody really wants to quit, We don't have an open venue at Hunterdon where they're going to just see me. I incorporate it into what I do. Amanda is more with her coalition, so she'll do things like ordinances.
Yeah,
and
so we do more
policies system
change,
and stuff.
More policy systems changes. Right. So working, you know, Maria and I will work to try to get the parks, the recreation areas here at Hunterdon County, we're trying to get them smoke-free for the kids to not be around the smoke. The secondhand smoke is just as bad as firsthand smoke. We're at that level, you know, what the coalition does, but Maria does.
Right. So, basically what I did with my grant is I trained people to go through the same type of training that I went through. So we have certified tobacco treatment specialists who are, spread out. Some are in primary care, exercise physiologists in cardiac rehab. If I'm able to assist any patients in any way to get the referral process or the resource process going. But typically, when you smoke two packs a day, so hypothetically, say we have a person who smokes two packs of cigarettes a day, the first step is what you just said. If they're really interested in quitting, that is an opportune moment. I would first congratulate that person for making the most important decision they can make for their health and their future health. And then develop a plan. And I think it's very important for them to be under the guise of a healthcare team, because a primary care physician or even a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant would be able to prescribe pharmacotherapy if needed. I could assist them in the talk, the counseling, the kind of follow-up on the call. And then very underutilized are our quitline services. They are free. They're available in 29 languages. They are operated by, like when you call the New Jersey Quit Line, you're not calling someone in New Jersey. They're usually in Washington State, or I think ours is out of Roswell Park. But they're part of a consortium that has done extensive research. So really, you need a collaborative effort, and you need the support of your loved ones and your family too. It is difficult to be around smokers if you want to quit smoking, and that's one of the things that I suggest, that there's a lot of triggers, and to really, it's not safe to be around smokers, even if you are a smoker or a non-smoker. I mean, it increases your risk for heart disease. So
sure.
You really need kind of a combination therapy is your best chance.
And I tell you, ironically enough, I'm retired now, but ironically enough, when I would drive to work, I'd go down 287 to 18 River Road, and there's a bar. As soon as you get onto River Road, right past the first traffic light on the left, there's a bar. Every time I passed that bar, I'd reach for a cigarette. When I was smoking, I'd light one up. So now I quit. So now I'm driving down and I'm, oh yeah, that's right. I quit smoking. I don't have it anymore. It's habit.
It's intrinsic. It's habitual. And it is, some people will constantly reach for their pocket. But the benefits of quitting smoking and far outweigh any other quick dopamine release that you get. You know, nicotine has its own receptor on the brain. So when you smoke a cigarette, it's a very dirty way to deliver the nicotine, but it's also the quickest way. So it's gonna trigger that receptor, gonna get the dopamine release. When that wears off, the need for another cigarette comes in. So it's the nicotine that is really the substance. And if we can replace it in a clean, evidence-based way, under, you know, a physician's or a nurse's care, I think that's the route to go.
Amanda, what areas do you want to see
smoke-free? Smoke-free? Anywhere.
Aside from everywhere. I mean,
everywhere, right? So especially where the kids are playing. Right now, the parks and the recreation areas. You know, you go to a park and you see kids playing in the playground and you see people are smoking right next to the children. There's a lot of kids here with asthma, specifically, and other respiratory diseases. So that affects them tremendously. And I think the public needs to be aware that, you know, when they do smoke, it just doesn't affect them, but it's going to affect their children. It sticks on your clothes, and it's a third-hand smoke now. So it's beyond just taking care. It's like taking care of the person, but it's taking care of the village. You know, we need to go beyond just what making that person quit. Our community needs to be healthier. We have high chronic disease. We have high cancer rates in Hunterdon County, you know, especially lung cancer and other types of cancer, throat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is, you know, tobacco course. We need to fight this battle because right. The tobacco companies are getting smarter.
They're
getting trickier. And so this is something that as healthcare system, as a community, we need to fight.
And also everything that Amanda's saying, that whole drive down when I was saying it was at such and such percent, that whole drive down is because of initiatives like this. It's because of raising tobacco taxes. It's because of having smoke-free ordinances, banning smoking from bars, casinos, restaurants, indoor smoke-free law. That has driven down. So, you know, you drive up, you can't smoke here, and then you drive up the pack, and that has really assisted to bring that adult population rate as low as it is. Without those efforts, we would still have a high. We'd still have a high rate.
Yeah, we just have a lot to go here.
Yeah, we do.
A lot.
Well, besides the lungs and the heart, what does nicotine or smoke affect in your body?
Nicotine is going to slightly increase your heart rate. It's going to slightly increase. That's because what it does. It's a good appetite suppressant. But when it's in a sustained release, when you put it, it's derived from tobacco. Nicotine. Okay. So it's naturally inherent in a tobacco product.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't realize is tobacco makes platelets want to stick together. So that's why if you're a smoker, you're at a 50% greater risk of a heart disease with a clot, with a myocardial infarction or a heart attack, with a stroke, because quite often when I see a patient and they've recently had a heart attack and have gone through our cath lab and have had a primary angioplasty, and if they're smokers, I know for a fact that what happened was that tobacco made their platelets want to stick together. When platelets like to go to something, they form a clot. So they like to go around a cholesterol or plaque burden in an artery. But there's a lot of things that people don't realize that smoking also causes, like impotence, infertility.
It changes your DNA.
It can actually genetic.
It's a genetic change in your DNA, which is linked to cancer cells. Mm-hmm. So if you're a smoker, depending on the cancer, but your increase is from 25% to 50% of increase of cancer because of smoking. So there's just on the cancer world.
But the good news is if after you quit in 5 years, your stroke risk is reduced to that of a non-smoker's 5 to 10 years after quitting. And then with the cancers, it's 10 years after quitting. Okay. So the benefits are immediately, you know, your heart rate drops, of course, that nicotine and all that fun stuff. But we have a very proactive cardiology group where, there was all these warning labels and cardiovascular risk. And if we have a tobacco dependent patient that is in the hospital, it is best to start nicotine replacement therapy on them. And because they'll have a greater chance of not buying a pack of cigarettes when they leave and lighting up. And then there's some people that it's just not their time and no matter what, but we still have to, you know, I still keep going at it. You know what I mean? Like you might not be ready to read this now, but you know what? Call me when you are and follow up me when you are.
Yeah. Like I said, I quit, I don't know, a couple hundred times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
True. You know, it was like every couple months.
Right.
You know,
and then that's
but
why
I quit for, you know, 8 hours and then that was it, you know, start up again, you know, and forget New Year's Eve. Every New Year's Eve I quit, you know, and New Year's Day I'd be back smoking again. But, you know, it drive my wife nuts because my wife never smoked.
Right.
And she couldn't stand the smell. And when I was smoking in the house, I didn't realize how bad it stunk. Right. And it does. It stinks, you know. And after I quit, I realized how the smell is on the clothes, it's on, you know, it's in the air, you know, it's just, then I said to her, geez, I know what you were talking about.
It pretty much
and she
affects
says, yeah,
every
for
organ
all these
system.
Years, I've been trying to tell you to stop, you know, I says, yeah, but, you know, it's like anything else. It's like, you know, an alcoholic or a drug addict. I says, if you're addicted, you're addicted.
It is an addiction,
you know.
And research actually shows that it is as much as an addiction as,
of course,
just you said, alcohol,
absolutely,
heroin.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, any kind of drug. And if you're somewhat an
addictive type person, mm-hmm, with an addictive personality, you know, years ago, a bunch of us used to go to Atlantic City. I wouldn't take any credit cards. I would make sure my car had a full tank of gas. And I would make sure I had quarters up in the thing so I could pay them. At that time, there were 25-cent tolls on the parkway. And I would have quarters. And I'd only take X amount of dollars. And that was it. Because I knew me. I wouldn't have a house. I wouldn't have anything because I would. That's me. I have that addictive.
You know yourself very well.
But I have that addictive personality. Yeah. But I would go, and if I lost, I'll meet you in a restaurant. You know, I'd save enough for, you know, a sandwich or something to eat. But other than that, no, because that was me. Now, drinking, after I got out of service, I never drank. I still don't drink at all, anything, you know. Iced tea, you know, is about it. That and coffee, you know. But other than that, you know, when in the service, that was a different story. But,
right,
you know, after that, never did, you know.
Well, you got your yayas out in a quick time.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, if you're going to, you know, like my daughter's boyfriend plays in a band, mm-hmm, you know.
Right.
And where's the band play? They're all playing bars. It's not like, you know, they're playing in, you know, in a museum or anything.
Right.
You know, they're all playing in a bar. So you go to a bar, I don't drink. My wife doesn't drink. So it's like, gee, can we have a Coke? You know, and it's like,
I think that's great. I don't know. My husband doesn't drink, and he's not Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Water.
Well, yeah.
Seltzer, whatever's there.
That's it. You know,
that's
I
it.
Mean, if they have iced tea, I'll have iced tea. But other than that, forget it. You know, it's like a soda or a Coke or something, Pepsi. But,
you know, and interestingly enough, when you're talking about like dual addictions, because there's a lot of dual addictions.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, smoking is very high among those that are addicted to drugs of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
You get a higher rate. Sometimes it is, I hate to use the word easy, because nothing is easy when it comes to that, but they found that it is more effective and it does work for people to give up both smoking and their other addiction at the same time. You know, why not do a combined therapy that's going to kind of target, mm-hmm, both addictions, mm-hmm, at the same time? So there's more research that needs to be done on that. But, you know, there are some published trials out there that have done that. And, you know, people are successful. But it is, you know, when you're talking about any type of mental health, behavioral health populations, I mean, they're the forgotten ones. They really are. But we have some pioneers in our state that are just really have been just advocates and are seriously bringing it to the forefront. I think Jill Williams. And
you know, if
team, yeah.
What are some of the methods you recommend?
Well,
either,
I mean,
one of you, it does, you know.
Well, no. First off, I would recommend talking to your primary care physician. I'm kind of like the point tobacco person for Hunterdon. So,
yes.
You know, I ensure that our healthcare professionals are educated, because it takes 3 minutes to initiate a conversation. And again, maybe one quit attempt is not going to be the same as another person's quit attempt. A lot of people have been extremely successful with combination therapy. So that would be a pharmacological agent such as bupropion, a nicotine patch, and the gum or lozenge for breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's something that you would have to go through with your physician. I definitely recommend, there's a lot of apps out there. There's a lot of tech-savvy people love their smartphones, and there's, mm-hmm, a lot of apps out there that are free. And, you know, I would also consider going to a certified tobacco treatment specialist,
okay,
someone who's an expert like myself in the field that can sit down and talk to you and counseling. Medicaid covers all of the 7 FDA-approved cessation medications, as well as counseling, and Medicare as well, you know, does counseling. The other thing to remember is the Affordable Care Act has definite provisions in there. And people just have to kind of dig through it and call their health insurance company, because a lot of the private health insurance company are covering tobacco cessation. They have to. It's basically
right.
the law.
Right.
It's the law.
What is your opinion of these, what do they call them, smokeless cigarettes or...
No, they're called electronic cigarettes.
Yeah, there you go.
I have no opinion. I cannot recommend them. There is not enough evidence out there to support or deny. I don't know they're harmful. I do know that they have a lot of toxins in them, diethylene glycol and that stuff that makes the fog.
Yeah. Yeah.
They also have unknown amounts of nicotine in it. So even though someone's saying, well, you know, I get this and I pour it in there and it only says 1 to 2 milligrams of nicotine, so I know I'm really on a low dose. And then another person said to me, really, I smoke just the vapor and it has no nicotine. Why would you want to do that? I don't know. But there's just not enough substantial evidence for me to recommend one over okay. the other. Although I do say that anything safer than a combustible cigarette, I would rather tell a patient what I know to be proven scientifically
fact,
to work.
Right.
And e-cigarettes are just not on the radar right now. They're just not an alternative. The other biggest thing about electronic cigarette is every single electronic cigarette or vaporizer or whatever company is owned by Big Tobacco. And just for that reason, I would not suggest it.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I think there might be one. Someone will probably call and correct me. I think there might be one that is privately owned. And
but the
I
rest
don't
of
even
them
want to
owned
say
by
Big Tobacco.
Big Tobacco.
RJ
companies.
Reynolds, Philip Morris,
whatever,
they're
right.
all got on the bandwagon because they have to substitute. Cigarette sales are declining, so why not introduce another addictive?
Sure.
Or the FDA is not involved.
And it's really the teenagers that are most concerning with this electronic cigarette thing. They made it look extremely glamorous. And kids that never even touched a regular cigarette
right.
are smoking electronic.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Do you think, Amanda, that you're going to get to a point where smoking isn't allowed anywhere?
Oh, I would love that. I mean,
I know you would love it, but you think you'll ever get to that point?
I'm really hopeful. I think we will. I think there's a lot of great research out there. There's a lot of great people doing great work showing that, you know, this is so harmful. And there's stronger linkage with now DNA, with different biological agents, with what it's doing to our bodies.
Okay.
And I think it's, you know, just a matter of time where, you know, we'll get smarter with our decisions and, you know, we will protect our own bodies. And this is how we have to go. I mean, there's so many diseases out there now, and we have to think about what's happening and why we're allowed.
Yeah, see, I can see any public place where it's banned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can't see them banning it in someone's house.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know,
not.
Like if I was smoking again, I couldn't see somebody saying, well, you can't smoke in your house.
Right.
Or you can't smoke in your car.
But we could see educating
right.
parents and families.
Oh,
and
I'm not
having,
yeah.
right.
And I'm not disputing that at all.
Right.
I'm just saying
right.
I can see them saying, okay, you can't smoke in a restaurant. You can't smoke, you know,
can't
on the street. You can't smoke
public
on
public housing
yeah.
is next.
Right. You
yes,
can't you can't
units.
Smoke on Fifth Avenue in New York, or you can't, you know, I can understand all that. And I can see that down the road.
Right.
I can't see them saying you can't. You know, smoke in your house.
No, and I think it's going to be personal choice there. But I think us as healthcare providers need to educate the communities
mm-hmm.
on what's really going into their bodies. It's not just a tobacco with just clean tobacco. There's over 6,000 chemicals,
mm-hmm.
right, that are cancer-causing.
68 carcinogens, yeah.
Carcinogens that are linked to cancer. So, I mean, I feel like we as healthcare providers need to educate and then make the informed decision. But, of course, we need to give them resources, just like what Maria is doing,
right.
you know, her training
right.
the healthcare providers and training a large number of us on how to help people who want to quit. So it's a huge, huge team effort on
right.
every end.
Look at the Great American Smoke Out. That's this Thursday.
This Thursday.
Okay.
Yep.
It's the 40th anniversary. That was started as a grassroots effort out in California.
Yeah.
Seriously. And hundreds of thousands of people put out their cigarettes for one day. And if we can do that, so, you know, if we can get someone to come by that's a smoker, and by the way, we're going to have a table And, you know, we're going to have a nice giveaway. So you're going to have to hand in all the cigarettes that you have on you. So if you only have two cigarettes, fine. But if you have more than two, you're going to have to give me your cigarettes and give our certified tobacco treatment specialist, because we'll man the table all day, answer
questions.
Where's
the table going to be at?
It's going to be right in at Hunterdon Medical Center, right outside Hunterdon Regional Pharmacy.
Okay.
And they can get information. I just got a huge box of coupons for Nicoderm patches, for the gum, for the products. And so, you know, hopefully people will be willing to even talk, even stop and just talk about it. Because sometimes it just takes that little bit of a push. Yeah. Like, you know what? I'm going to try it. It's just a day. It's one day out of my life. And many people have stayed quit by doing that. So, I mean, I don't have the exact numbers, but it's an opportunity. It's just an opportunity to talk.
All right. Let's say, for argument's sake, Maria, you smoked.
Okay.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is you smoked. Okay. And you went to the Great American Smokeout.
Okay.
And somebody was going to give you, Amanda was going to there, and she's going to give you coupons for these things, right? As a smoker, how would you react to that? I mean, it's one thing to quit for a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's another to quit for the rest of your life.
Well, I'll tell you, I would be very happy that somebody cared enough to reach out to me and talk to me about my smoking, because that's the problem. We treat every other disease process in this entire nation as a chronic disease. You would never be a diabetic and go to a doctor with a blood sugar of 300 and the doctor going, well, you can try this medicine or you could try the diet for a while. You wouldn't. You wouldn't leave his office without a treatment plan. But with smokers, that's what happens. So I would embrace it, and I would hope that people would embrace it. I don't push anything, but at the same time, you know, it's nice to know that people are taking an interest. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're going to have a lasso at the table. Right. Whoever's going to come by is going to come by free will. You know, we're just there
I understand
offer
perfectly,
info.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, that's like when we have a table by the pharmacy.
Right,
you know,
right.
NAMI has a table by the pharmacy. Right. We don't drag people over and say, here, take this, you know.
But could work. We could look into the lasso. Yeah. I kind of like that. Lasso in.
You know, but, you know, people come and look and, you know, if someone's there, we'll see.
Fair that I do, even though it's basically cardiac and I talk a lot about peripheral arterial disease and any kind of vascular, I always have smoking education, tobacco cessation education with me, because I feel comfortable speaking on it. And then if a person says, oh, you know, my husband smokes. Really? Okay. Has he ever thought about quitting? No, no way. Well, here, take some information. You never know. And if I can touch point those couple of people, it's a great day.
Well, you don't know. You know.
But you don't know. Right.
You know.
Although I'll tell you, I did send out materials to someone that called me from the community, because I get a lot of calls from the community. So I send them a little package of resources, quit line information, anything that would help them, coupons, you know, their doctor, talk to your doctor, so-and-so. And I got an email from the woman today, and she said, thank you so much. I received my packet. Very useful information. So I emailed her back and I'm like, did you set a quit date? So we'll see. If I start a dialogue, wonderful. Yeah. You know?
Right, right. And, you know, the resources that Hunterdon has to offer someone.
Right. They can call me at any time.
What's the number?
908-237-5440, or just go right on our website and put in tobacco. Look for my little interview with my friend, my patient that recently quit. And it's a very off-the-cuff, little heartfelt video. So I think it's going to be posted sometime this week.
What's the website?
HunterdonHealthcare.org. And just put in tobacco. I think if you put in tobacco, you'll come up with something. And also, it'll probably be on Facebook.
Yeah,
I don't even know our
Facebook.
And then Amanda has a great Facebook.
Yeah, our coalition has a Facebook, so we'll be sharing Maria's story, her patient story. So we want to get the word out that there are people who are quitting and you know, and because of
yes, that, and that have quit, and actually, seriously, right. So. But you also have a great Facebook with a lot of other, you know, information on it too. A lot of events and stuff.
Yeah. So because I am at the Cancer Center, so we do a lot of cancer education for health professionals. We're going to have a large gynecologic symposium, a statewide gynecologic symposium, to talk about uterine, cervical, you know, gynecologic cancers.
Right.
And very prominent speakers will be there. So it'll be November 19th, the same day as Great American Smokeout.
Yes.
Thursday.
Yes, Thursday. Busy day, so very, Thursday. Very busy at Hunterdon, but, you know, it's definitely worth it. So you could always check us out on the Facebook as well. The Hunterdon and Mercer Regional Chronic County Regional Chronic Disease Coalition.
Big name.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
And you want to say it again because somebody may be out there going,
I know,
what?
Right? It's Hunterdon and Mercer County Regional Chronic Disease Coalition.
Okay. Now, it's interesting because I think that years ago you would never see commercials about quitting smoking. Now you see these commercials where, you know, somebody looks like they're already dead and they just sat them up, you know. Have you ever seen these where they're, you know, they're dying from
all these? Let me tell you, that is the CDC's their fifth year. It's called Tips from a Former Smoker. That campaign has been so successful. Those stories are real. They are heart-wrenching. And I don't know if you remember Terry. She was the one with the, you know, the tracheostomy, the whole face, the wig. Yeah. And I happened to be at a conference in Arizona, and the CDC Tobacco Office of Control, you know, chief came on, and she had just passed 2 days before the conference, and he told us the story of how she still wanted the film crew in her room to film her last, they really didn't. So you're talking about people that are just beyond brave, in my opinion. So yes, those commercials are meant to be graphic.
They are meant to
be frightening. If you go on the website, you can actually like look at these people's stories. So it is the fifth year, I believe, fourth or fifth year, CDC's Tips from a Former Smoker. And they campaign and recruit these people from people like us, like, who do you know? Who has been, you know, to physicians? Has someone been in your office? We're looking for someone that has beat smoking, that, you know. So, yeah, the stories are so real. And it's really a way to point out, like when you said, you know, everybody knows that smoking's bad, but really, what does it do? Case in point, just look at what it does. Yeah.
And there's one with a guy that, he looks like he's about 70 pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's all drawn and, oh, God, you know.
It is. I
have to get up and walk out sometimes
I know, it's sad. And especially because your son's a smoker. And so it hurts you to see that. And, you know, as graphic as they might be, they kind of hit home. And I think that they've had quite a successful quit rate with since these campaigns started. I mean, over a couple hundred thousand, I think.
The sad thing, too, is that, like with my son, with his mental illness,
he can't take a lot of the medications.
Yes. And then, with his mental illness, they're saying that his lifespan could be 25 years less than the average person because of the mental illness. Mm. And on top of that, then you throw the smoking on top of that.
And yeah, exactly.
You know, and you're saying,
there's a great group out there. I think oh my goodness, it's wonderful. Remind me, I'll give you their name. They started out as volunteers, and it's called Choices. And they are part of this whole behavioral health, mental health initiative. Mm-hmm. And they are a huge support group, so I can get information to you on that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like awesome. I said, you know, it's yeah, I understand why he does it. Mm-hmm. And he has cut back. I have to say that. You know, he smoked a lot more 6-8 months ago, so he has cut back.
That's awesome.
But he still smokes, you know.
Do you have smoking in the house policies or?
Yeah, outside. Okay. You don't do it in
any,
the house.
Any abides by the policies?
Yes.
Like, that's awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's
he doesn't live
step.
With us.
Oh, okay.
He lives in his own apartment in Flemington.
Got it.
But he comes over every Sunday for, you know, dinner. But he goes out on the deck, you know.
Good. Yeah. Stick to the rules.
And he's got a little bottle out there that he puts cigarette butts in because I don't want him stepping on the porch with
that's
him,
right.
Yeah. Out, you know, and I don't
want
him throwing him in the yard. You know, oh, hey, you know,
to protect
my wife tried to give me rules when I was smoking, but that didn't work. No. You know, well, she did, you know, go outside and smoke. Oh, you don't like it? You go outside, you know. I don't know how we lasted 51
well,
years.
I'll tell
but
you, they really came out with a lot more scientific research. 5 years ago, if you were still smoking and your wife asked you, you might have had a little bit more information than we even did 25 years ago
right.
about the secondhand smoke and about how, you know, especially they did a whole, like another, you know, study that, you know, women are at really high risk. Non-smoking women, if their mm-hmm. husbands smoke or if they're around
yeah.
smoke for
right.
for cardiac
right.
disease. So, I mean, overall, it is. It's probably one of the toughest addictions, but there's support. There's stuff out there.
Then if you get somebody thick-headed like me, you know.
We have ways. We have a little hammer and a chisel. That's right. Amanda has the chisel. I have the hammer.
But, you know, you get someone that is thick-headed like me, and they say, you know, like my wife for years tried to get me to quit or not smoke in the house, smoke outside.
But sometimes it takes that impetus. Like yours was the surgery.
Yeah.
Most of the people that I see, it's a heart attack. You're scared during any kind of event like that. It's a diagnosis of cancer. It's
well,
sometimes.
My thought of talking through a box in my throat, you know, saying, no, if I could stop that, I was, you know, I'll quit, you know. And it wasn't easy, but I did it, you know. And, you know, it's crazy because I could, at the time, like if you went to a mall, you still smoked in a mall 25 years ago, you know. I could walk down a mall and I could smell somebody smoking a Marlboro. I'm serious. It's fact. Wow. You know, I mean, yeah, you could smell other cigarettes too because people were smoking, but if somebody walked down with a Marlboro, I could smell that was a Marlboro they were smoking.
That's so funny. You know? Distinctive to tobacco.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just like, whoa, you know?
That's true. Malls? How about airplanes, airliners?
Yeah.
That was like 1984.
Yeah, you used to smoke on an airplane. Sure.
Yeah, the little.
They had ashtrays, I believe.
Right. You had ashtrays there. Yes, absolutely.
Could you imagine?
Because I used to travel, and I used to have to fly, you know, and they had ashtrays right there. Like with your cup holder, there was an ashtray there. You know.
In 1984, nurses, we smoked nurses during report that had cigarettes and ashtrays on the patient units. Blows my mind.
Just in the delivery room too. Like not delivery room, but like once you had the baby.
Oh my goodness.
All the men out there with their cigars.
So we've been completely tobacco free at 104, 2005, I think, or 2007. Yeah. So we have a tobacco-free ordinance. And just to touch base, that e-cigarette is included in most tobacco ordinances because it's considered a tobacco product.
Okay. Okay.
So I've gone down the hall one or two times, and I've seen visitors. I'm sure patients have them tucked in their bed somewhere, but...
Uh-huh.
And nicotine is potent. But we can keep you comfortable. That's the most important thing. There's no reason why someone should have to go through nicotine withdrawal symptoms. And they're real. They are real.
Trust me, they are.
They're not only real, they have their own actual diagnosis code. So
they really?
Yes, they do. If you have four or more nicotine withdrawals, so that could be insomnia, irritability, chest tightness, fatigue, restlessness. So and there's a few others. I can't think off the top of my head. But if a person has four or more, they actually get a DSMV code. You know about the DSMV codes because of your work that you do.
Absolutely.
So why? Keep them comfortable. Yeah. We can keep you comfortable.
Patch.
We can put the patch on. and you know, not have a patient.
And the gum also, right? That
we well, mostly in the hospital, you're going to get a patch.
Okay.
But I always suggest for breakthrough, because sometimes the patch takes a couple hours to, you know, reach its potency.
Now it's I assume you found that a lot more people are not smoking than what used to smoke.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, we have a lot more educated. I mean, just they're just more informed now with their health. They're eating. I mean, you just see, you know, better choices eating. They're getting screened for cancers. They're getting blood pressure screenings. Or you know, you're starting to see the shift. But there doesn't say that there's still people dying because of tobacco.
Right.
And your health disparity, your lower socioeconomic, every person that is vulnerable, our vulnerable populations are going to remain our vulnerable populations for any chronic disease process. And that's why tobacco dependence is a chronic disease process. So we have to treat it as such. And that's why every time a person goes to the doctor, even though they might not be ready to quit and thick-headed, if that physician or their healthcare provider or someone from the community or someone at a fair just takes that opportunity at every teachable moment that you can grab. That's the way I look at it. Any kind of teachable moment, just to kind of re-mention it to them again. Even when I see a patient again, like, how you doing on that? You know, did you, how are you doing? Did you set a quit date? Are you thinking about it a little bit more? You know, and then sometimes they're excited. Sometimes they're like, I haven't had a cigarette in 2 weeks. Or sometimes they're like, I cut down.
Right.
It was a pack a day, and now I'm down to 4 cigarettes. And I'm like, okay, all right. That's one method, rather than quit completely, but
it's a heck of a lot better than 24, you know.
So. Right. It true, but again, you know.
Oh, yeah, I understand totally, you know.
Yeah, so.
And, you know, you look at the patients, if you want to call them that, or the people in behavioral health in a day program, and they get a break.
Well, that's the other situation that we have at Hunterdon.
Yeah.
You know, we have a designated area, and that's a whole another soapbox.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you
but know. If you didn't have that, they would find some other place. You know.
True.
At this point in time.
Or you would just have a bunch of healthy non-smoking people going for.
Yeah.
Therapy.
Well, yeah, well.
True.
But, you know.
It's tough. It
having,
is
having dealt
tough.
With mental illness for the last 20 years.
Yes.
It's, you know, if you're not going to approach it that way.
Right.
You know. So, you know. There's
I was walking out today, and I don't know if it was a nurse or a transport person. She did not look familiar to me, so. But you could tell she was right in front of the emergency room. She was standing up with smoking a cigarette, and she dropped it when she saw me. And I kind of walked by and I said, there is no smoking on any of our campuses. And sometimes it's really hard to be like the whistleblower and a patient advocate you know, tobacco dependence advocate at the same time. But she's like, oh, you can't smoke here. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Like you didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you just, you know, you just keep that message.
Right.
But you know, if I had more time, I would say, hey, you can't smoke here, but have you ever thought about quitting? I'm on my way
Here's
to do a radio show. Listen.
Yeah. Here's a card. Yeah.
All right. We got about a minute and a half.
No phone breaks, number? Huh?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Phone number?
908-237-5440.
Is that the same number?
No, mine's 908-237-2328.
2328.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the website?
For the coalition. So for
for the coalition. What's the website?
Well, it's under hunterdonhealthcare.org, and then
okay.
we have a tab. If you type in coalition, will pop up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't have our own website yet.
Okay. You're working on it, right? Yeah, there you go.
We'll work on that one.
Yeah, we'll work on that one.
And heart and vascular. If you go under heart and vascular under the main website, you will be directed and you can find an actual color trifold with resources that you know, we developed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you both enough.
Thank you.
It's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you very much.
And we hope that we've reached somebody out there and maybe got them to get some information about quitting smoking.
Said, I hope our phone lines are ringing off the hook.
Well, I don't know about that, but
not yet. You
know, but trust me, it's it takes something to do it, and I think that people who do it, I think, should get patted on the back.
Oh, absolutely.
Not me personally, because I'm long past that. But
yeah, but you still deserve a congratulations because you stayed quit.
Yeah, that's true. I did stay quit.
And you're allowing us to speak about it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's so.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Very appreciative of that.
And, well, I appreciate you guys being here. You've been listening to the 100 Medical Center's Hour. Compliments of the 100 County Chamber of Commerce. And I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we'll see you again next week. And remember, quit smoking.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. In the latest online threat made by ISIS, the group threatens Washington, D.C. with the same violence that struck France. D.C. resident Derek Haffer says that focus on the city is nothing new.
It's a sobering reminder of where we are today, but it's where we've been really since September 11, 2001, and unfortunately even prior to that. And we just, I think we're awakened to the dangers on that date.
In the video released this morning, a man threatens to attack any country that willingly strikes Syria, including America, at its center in Washington. There's no confirmation on the authenticity of the video. The number of governors who do not want Syrian refugees relocating to their states is growing. Following the terror attacks in Paris, 8 Republican governors have said they're against accepting Syrian refugees. Governors from Alabama, Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Texas say they will not admit the Syrians, citing security concerns. This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. Own small business. No time. Holidays busy. Pack stuff. Ship stuff. Help.
Well, at Staples, our UPS shipping center is open 7 days a week with the same carrier rates and all the shipping supplies you need, so you can relax.
I'm relaxed. Loosened up. Tension gone.
Takes time to adjust.
Get up to 5% back in rewards on everything every day, including shipping and packing supplies. Ship more for less. Staples. Make more happen.
5% back in rewards excludes postage, gift, or prepaid phone cards and purchases made on third-party websites. Rewards not paid on taxes, delivery charges, and coupons. See Staples.com for details.
This holiday, there are a few things I can count on. My daughter will ask for a pony, again.
Please, 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 please.
Grandpa will tell one of his colorful stories at dinner.
And that's why I don't have a spleen.
And thanks to the Postal Service, my holiday shipping will be stress-free.
Make holiday shipping easy with free box delivery, free tracking, and free package pickup from the U.S. Postal Service. This is our season. Priority you. Free tracking and free box delivery available for select products. For details on free package pickup, visit usps.com/pickup.
President Obama is defending his decision to allow thousands of Syrian refugees into the U.S.
When I hear political leaders suggesting that there would be a religious test for which person who's fleeing from a war-torn country is admitted, that's shameful.
During a news conference in Turkey, Obama said rejecting refugees would be a betrayal of American values. Several U.S. governors, as we just mentioned, have announced plans to shut the door on Syrian refugees due to security concerns. Meantime, Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson urges Congress to deny federal funding for any resettlement programs. Carson argues that there should be no program which might allow a terrorist to infiltrate the U.S.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
It's now threatening any country taking part in airstrikes in Syria. A new video out today warns those attacking Syria will suffer the same fate as France and specifically threatens an attack in Washington, D.C. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Another expert on Social Security is urging older Americans to hold off on taking their Social Security benefits. Kristen Arnold, a policy analyst at the National Academy of Social Insurance, says there's a good reason for waiting until benefits are maximized.
The benefits are there to make sure you're not in poverty in old age. But if you have some flexibility, if you have other sources of income, if you're still working, if you're still healthy, you might consider waiting to take benefits.
Arnold also says a person's decision will not affect Social Security's financial condition. She says Social Security is fully funded for the next 15 to 20 years and is 72% funded after that.